plus utilities.
And do you know when that was?
I'm trying to think of when that was.
Could I chime in?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. We actually had two times when we were 4 full months behind in paying the rent on the office space in December and again in April. So there had been some degree of catching up, but then by April we were 4 months behind again. So maybe somebody's counting, you know, a whole lot of that, because it could be very confusing to look at that and say, geez, you know, we never caught up there. We were behind in rent for a whole lot of months. And also, the utilities for both the studios and the transmitter site were included in that 205 figure, as I recall.
Right, that was my recollection as well.
Okay, I can't...
It's just a side point.
Yeah, I can't... I do recall that it was a total of 292, but I can't figure out where I would have filed that piece of information, so I'm sorry, I can't give you that. Yeah, I could be incorrect. I don't think I am, but anyway.
No problem.
Maybe it's something else that was passed through at the time, but, you know.
Question?
Okay, so we're on the subject of listener support, and I guess we can add the general list of the income lines. Okay, we have a question from Campbell.
Yes. I was noticing that there, you know, has been mentioned a number of changes in what is projected. The LSB has passed on all of this?
Oh, no.
On the budget?
On the budget, yeah.
No, this budget was just released to the world this morning or yesterday night. So the LSB has not had a chance to review it.
Oh, okay.
But we brought it to this committee because, you know, time, we're late, so we didn't want to...
Start working on it.
Well, not okay. We want to get going as soon as possible.
Okay. Has the BAI Finance Committee in total passed on it, or what?
So no, they haven't seen it either. we looked at a version without actuals, but without actuals, it's kind of hard to do much with. No one's really reviewed it in depth.
Stack check.
Okay.
Mrs. Summer, I want to be able to start, please.
Okay, so first Lizette and then Summer.
I'm very pleased that this point has come up, because at some stage we need to establish how it is. The LSB has a responsibility to agree on budgets that goes to the PNB, yet the CFO and whoever can turn around and spend the money in whichever way they feel, and sometimes bears little relevance to the initial budget. I know some people is not going to like this. We have an example at PFW where this has happened with a famous gala. So I'm not too sure what relevance this point is right now, especially when we're trying to get a better picture of what the finances are across the board. And I just hope that at some point we will raise this matter and close the loopholes wherever they exist, that this could ever happen again.
Okay, thank you, Lizette. And next we have Summer.
Thanks, Jamie. I guess more of a point of information, since this is the first blush of the WBAI budget and it has to be reviewed locally, and you may have answered this question, but... what is the state of the WPFW budget? Are we almost at a point to be, like, next week? I guess what I'm asking is, where are we at with the other remaining budget, since this budget has just gotten to us, and obviously it sounds like it needs to be you know, it's good that we pick over it tonight, but it has to be gone over at the local level and come back to us next week, obviously.
Jamie?
I can't, hold on.
Yeah, do you guys know, Campbell or Luzette, do you have information about the PFW budget?
Early last week, I'd sent out a note inquiring of staff when we can have, and I was looking for it for last week, a work session to go through what Efren had sent and see that it would also include the revenue strategy that the committee had had proposed and that had not been really engaged, but there's been no feedback on that. So, you know, I don't supervise the staff at WPFW.
Okay. I just like to point out that I did ask Efren about this last time, and he said he had sent out a version of it that had kind of placeholder numbers, and
right.
He hasn't seen one that had those changed.
Yeah, that's
so. It seems like it's not very far along. That's my impression.
That's my sense as well. And we were presented with one at the LSB meeting, which was just that. And you know, it's. I think that isn't being, you know, straight up in regards to, you know, being accountable.
Right.
Summer,
no. Yeah, definitely. Last week, well, I'll get back to you, Summer. Last week, we did ask our managers to, you know, to use their good offices to get these things moving. So maybe this is an area where they could do that. But anyway, go ahead, Summer.
Well, I guess just to not to put too fine a point on it, but I mean, I think our judiciary job and why we have boards is that we can't simply rely upon management to make these things happen. It may be their job to produce these budgets, but it's our job to push and to pull. And the treasurer from WPFW needs to be proactive on that. I mean, I had to be proactive on that. Nobody was handing me budgets. I had to ask for them, and I had to say, these are the changes that have to be made. Are these real numbers? And you need to change this number because it's not an accurate number. You know what I mean? It's like in an ideal world, one hopes that management's always supplying you with what you need, but the reason we have checks and balances in a nonprofit is because that's our job to see to it that we move the process along in a timely fashion. So not to be hard on Washington, D.C., but you need to do the same thing I did here in L.A., which is go in there and say, you know, I'm the treasurer, and I need to get a copy of this budget, and this needs to be changed to reflect it, and we've got to pass it, and we're overdue, and I need that budget back. So that's all I'm saying is we've got to finish approving these budgets. So I hope that someone in your signal area will take the bull by the horns you just have to say this is what we've got to have happen and placeholder numbers won't work. You need real numbers and you need them now because we're past due in our budget season. So,
okay, folks, we should get back on the topic of BAI. Campbell.
Sorry, I didn't mean to digress.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah, if you could make a quick response.
Yes. This is precisely what I've been trying to do, and we've been trying to get our staff, our manager, focused on the budget, and there have been just various distractions that have not related to the budget at all, going back to the gala and other things that are irrelevant. I was attempting to accomplish last week is precisely that, and prior to that, the claim had been, well, you know, we're involved in the drive and, you know, I guess because we have the lowest staff complement of any station, no one can be available to do anything. So that was the difficulty there. But I certainly agree with what you're saying, and this is what I'll be pursuing, you know, continue to pursue in the future.
Okay, thank you. And let's see, I heard Luzette, if you could briefly respond, we can get back
It's very brief. I haven't been here for the last 2 weeks or so, but I know once or twice I attended a finance committee meeting where the staff members attended, and it was a charade, quite frankly. I think my LSB need to get its act in order and stop trying to, follow its tail, as it were, and get in other things that don't make much sense for the station. And I take exactly what the colleague, I'm not sure which station area she's from. Yes. I commend you on what you have to say, and I just hope that what you said tonight is heard across the network, and particularly the PFW LSB, and we just get our act together. We don't even have a treasurer right now. It's not official that we have a treasurer. So I'm not sure what this is about. And I just hope that we move on. We move on with the business.
You know, Lisette, you're just throwing out a lot of things that are relevant and not appropriate.
Let's move on with the business.
I mean, that's what I agree with, too. And if you note, the staff manager was a person who was causing the distraction insofar as what the agendas were, and was not addressing the agenda of the budget.
I'd like to get back on.
I didn't mean to digress.
I appreciate the. But Summer, if you listen, you can hear there are issues at PFW.
Yeah, I hear. Yes, yes. I'm just hoping we can have both budgets, since we need to go over the BAI budget. That's all I was really getting at.
Okay, but anyway, back to the income lines.
Orders of the day. Will people be thoughtful about this?
Income lines on BAI budget. Next on the stack was Brian.
And Alberto.
Okay, go ahead, Brian.
So we're sticking to income lines now?
Well, we don't have. I thought we'd go through income first and the rest later, but you could review, you know, whatever. That seemed to make more sense to me. But
okay. I have a page of questions I wrote up. I don't want to bombard you. So
why don't you go over your income questions?
Well, if we're in listener support, one thing I wanted to flag was that the direct mail numbers look like they're placeholder numbers.
Okay.
On the assumption sheet, which is down starting around line 33, it assumes your printing cost per piece of mail is $1 and your postage per piece of mail is $1. And your response rate is 2%. Those look like far too round numbers to be actually based on historic data.
Okay.
So that was just a source of concern. As you said, Jamie, it's not
a
huge portion of that figure.
And that's on the assumption page? The assumption? Okay.
As you said, it's not a huge portion of the listener support line, but, you know, they should all be as tight as possible. Same thing on renewals. It looks completely roughed in.
Okay.
And then I'm hoping one of you understands the telemarketing assumption section on row 82.
Is that an assumption?
On assumptions, yeah. It starts on row 82.
Okay, why don't we take a look at that? Because telemarketing is a big issue here. This is completely unproven income, and it's $275,000. So, you know, I don't know what we think about that. So let's take a look at here. 82, telemarketing on the assumptions tab. So let's see. We're going to start in December. 364 pledges. The 5%, some rate there. So outstanding receivables to call, $43,142. 6% success rate. Contacts who pledge are 289. So they're going to call 43,000 people. Is that correct?
That's more members than you have.
No,
it's arrears. It's arrears.
But no, is this number in column J, is this people or is that money?
Money.
Ah.
Okay. Money. So we're going to call 364 people. That's in cell G88 in December. How's that number? Where did that number come from?
Mr. Chairman, can I chime in?
Yes, you can chime in.
Just quickly, because that's part of my comments. They're going to be targeting pledges that have been coming in and that are pending and that haven't been fulfilled, mm-hmm. And that's why they're projecting that out of pledges that have not been fulfilled in the past, they're going to be calling X number of people, X number, which I don't know the number, but X number of people. And theoretically, they're going to be able to recoup that money from unfulfilled pledges in the past. So if we look at it from that perspective, then we can focus and say you know, then we can focus and figure out that those $275,000 that are going to be brought in through the telemarketing company of unfulfilled pledges and lapsed memberships, and maybe that's how we should look at that item. And if we have questions, we should look at, you know, come up with the questions that deal with where the $275,000 are going to come from. But that is my speculation. That's what it means.
Oh, well, did I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. I met with Berthold on Friday, and we discussed this. And basically, as you can see, it's in cell J98. We've got 862 grand unfulfilled for FY09.
Okay.
And the telemarketing is supposed to go after that.
Okay.
And they're projecting here getting not gigantic success with this, but just getting some. And so if they get 6% of the 862, that's going to be around 52 grand.
Okay.
And they think that management is projecting, you know, hoping that it'll actually be a lot better than that. And so they're going to have ComNet do this stuff, and they're going to be offering people, because like BAI has had a problem with not fulfilling the premiums.
Yeah.
Causing us problems. And so what they're going to do is they're going to offer people like a fresher premium, because they figure largely a lot of people are going to not want the premium that they were pledging for in the first place, because it might be old now or whatever. And so the telemarketing isn't going to be just a flat, will you please pay your pledge? It's going to be, you know, nicer than that. And it's also going to offer them basically a new deal. It's going to be sort of as if a new pledge is happening. And so management thinks that this will be somewhat successful.
Productive.
So that's what they're going after. And if you look there, they're not projecting gigantic amounts of money coming in out of this.
Excuse me, could you clarify, what was the 852 representing?
That's, okay, from my notes, that's what's unfulfilled for FY09.
$852,000.
862.
And what was the 300 and something number that Jamie was talking about? Was that people?
No, he was looking at column G, cell G88, and 364, that's people. And the other thing he was looking at was J88, which is $43,000. That's money.
So what do those people represent?
The 364, and underneath that will be 873 until, you know, the end of the fiscal year. Those represent the number of people they expect ComNet to call up.
Well, how does that relate with the $862,000? I mean, surely 362 people didn't generate...
No. If you look at the spreadsheet, the 862 is in cell J98, and that's the addition of the outstanding receivables.
Okay.
That's for the whole year. That's from 7,000 people.
7,000.
But the 364 is from 1 month.
Yeah.
And they owe $43,000.
Gotcha. Thank you. I was trying to make all the numbers tie together there. Okay.
Oh.
Oh. Thank you. Okay.
you do this kind of stuff in your head, right?
Yes.
Good. That's what we like on the National Finance Committee.
Yeah. Anyway, I spoke to Berthold about this. We went over this and we looked at it and considered it. And this doesn't seem like a bad one at all here. You know, assuming you're going to get only 6%. Wow, that's... That would be underachieving, in my opinion. And
right.
I think that this actually has the potential to do significantly better than is projected in the budget. I have a rare bit of optimism in this point.
Is that about the 50,000 or about the whole 275 that you're optimistic?
The 51,770 I'm very, I am optimistic about that. The other thing, I'm not unoptimistic about the attempts to the lax donor stuff and all of that noise. It's, you know, not as clear to me, but, you know, I'm sort of, I am not against that. I am not saying, you know, let me get out a knife and start cutting that. So, and it is possible that the two of these are going to balance a bit, in my opinion. On the other hand, it's also possible that both of them will be nicely successful and we'll end up with more than we thought we might. But in any case, the ComNet going after the 7,200 people, I think that looks very good to me.
Worthwhile.
Oh, it looks like that number is very conservative to me. The other number, I'm not that sure about, but it doesn't look, you know, wild and crazy at all.
Brian here.
Okay, go ahead. Brian?
You know, since it's new money, I would be much more comfortable instead of us just eyeballing it and saying it looks good or it doesn't look good, if you could get comparative data maybe from another station that's doing the same type of appeal. I mean, on the surface of it, one thing that seems backwards to me is that you're expecting a 6% success rate with people who actually pledged and a 15% success rate with people who let their membership lapse. You know what I mean? Like, it seems weird.
Yeah, that's why they're offering basically it's a new pledge, largely. Because they're, let's see, the note I have is that they're offering a package with offers that are a lot like what they had pledged for in the first place, those people.
Right, but... okay, I mean... It may be a very sound approach to doing it, but it doesn't sound like there's any... I mean, it sounds like the percentages are just stabs in the dark. They could be high, they could be low. We don't know because you haven't done it before. We don't have figures from another place that's doing it, but what we do know is that it's $275,000 of your budget.
I get what you're saying. It's that to estimate 15% for lapse pledges and only 6% for pledges that weren't fulfilled. Those are numbers out of thin air, it sounds like, unless it's based on some data that they can look at.
Yeah, it'd be
Chairman?
Interesting to hear where they got the, what the basis was for these.
These are the basis of notes to get further information on, right?
Well, why don't we flag
say
it?
Again? Say, what was that?
I said this is the basis for making notes of things we need further information on in order
yeah,
to sound
why don't you
such.
Flag it?
Okay.
The 6%, I think, is well, as I said, I think that's very conservative.
Yeah.
15%. Yeah, let's ask him about that.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, let's see, Brian, were you done or?
No. Well, if that's flagged, I mean, I had a bunch of other questions. I don't want to dominate though.
Is your question about telemarketing, Alberto?
Yes, sir.
Okay, why don't we do telemarketing next?
Yeah.
Topic of the day.
Well,
okay.
I wanted to point out that in the earlier conversation, it was mentioned that both KPFA and KPFT have done a similar approach to the program, and Brian was asking about maybe there's some track record to these numbers, and it's obvious, I mean, from what I'm understanding, that both Berkeley and Houston have done this type of approach. And maybe that's where we can look as far as numbers are concerned. I do know that at here in Houston, we did use them, and we were fairly successful, although I cannot begin quoting any kinds of percentages or figures or numbers. But
I have that.
Okay. So what about you, Brian? How was the telemarketing success on lapsed and unfulfilled pledges?
You know,
I'm trying
to look it up as we speak.
Okay.
I mean, the BAI numbers seemed very high to me. They've certainly never been that big for us.
Yeah.
Now, it may be that there's a lot to mine there because you haven't done it before.
The percentages? You mean the 6% and the 15%?
No, the gross numbers. I don't know what our percentages are.
Oh.
I have a little bit of information about
Alberto,
KCFA.
In Texas, I asked Dwayne at the meeting his experience, you know, in the public session when he gave his report, and he said, I think he said from lapsed donors, they had a campaign, and they raised $39,000. I think it was lapsed donors, or recently lapsed donors, and it cost $11,000. But somehow he was a little bit... I mean, you would have thought he'd been enthusiastic, but he didn't sound that enthusiastic.
Well, he was not that enthusiastic because he was not counting that the people, that the telemarketing people were going to charge so much, such a big percentage of the take.
Oh.
That was what he was disappointed in. It wasn't the 39 that came in. He was disappointed at the fact that the telemarketing company took 11 of those 39.
They took like 28 or 30%.
Yeah.
It's not that bad, really.
Yeah.
Well, when you didn't have the money to begin with.
It's money you wouldn't have it.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay.
So,
I have a little bit more information if I can be on the stack. It's great.
Go ahead.
Okay. KPFK, the KPFK use of, I'm sorry, KPFA use of ComNet was a lapsed member drive. I don't remember what the revenue from that was. I think it was in the 40-some-odd thousand range. Now, two attempts were made, one at KPFT and one at KPFK, to have volunteers called lapsed members. This was ineffective at both stations, particularly at KPFK, where it just did not work at all. It was inefficient. It took a lot of staff time for very little income generated. It's just not something that lends itself very well to a volunteer activity. It's best done where there's a boiler room, automatic dialing, professionals, et cetera, et cetera. That's, just to give you information, this firm in... I got a bunch of information about ComNet, which I may have sent to Jamie, this firm has 17 staff who are experienced in specifically in radio fulfillment, public radio fulfillment, and they have worked on membership drives in New York. Even though they are based in Oregon, they are contracted with the the Museum of Modern Art in New York and other large, prestigious
foundation
nonprofits.
Yeah.
And they are pride themselves on their no complaints. In other words, they are extremely friendly and polite on the phone, which I think is a plus. They also will take our we send them a MEMSIS database. They don't have access to our database as a whole. We send them part of it. They will correct the database. They will harvest email addresses for us, correct any incorrect information. So, and then we can just take the corrected database and upload it into our main MEMSIS database. They're familiar with MEMSIS. So that's a service that they also provide. The average cost will be somewhere between 28 and 34%, somewhere in that range of the total gross income.
Information, Mr. Chairman?
And Summer?
Yeah, go ahead, Alberto.
Yeah, very quickly, adding to what Grace is saying, at KPFT, the members of the Finance Committee came up with the idea of putting calls, of getting to get volunteer board members to come in and make calls at certain times of the day and on weekends. And we did that. Members of the local station board came in two or three times, four times during this experiment. And they called and people responded and people went ahead and gave pledges or fulfilled their pledges. And at the same time, the local station board volunteers that were doing these calls figured out that it was a big task. But the success of those few hours that board members called lapsed members was so was so well received by the local station board and management that it was decided to go ahead with this professional company. But the board members did an experiment and called labs members, and the labs members were some of them were a little sheepish because they had not come back to join KPFT and donated. So it does work. It did work for us, and that's what prompted us to go ahead and get that company to do it professionally for us, regardless of the outcome. But it was
I'm confident it will work. What I'm not confident about is that we'll get $276,000 because we've never done it, not even a little bit.
I think a big fat question mark should be put on that amount. We don't know how much is going to be generated. I think your queasiness about the number is I think that's prudent, Jamie. And
I'm glad that we're doing it. I think it's a great idea. I just don't know. You know, we've never done it.
Yeah, this is Brian. I do too. I'm glad you're doing it. It seems like it's an order of magnitude larger than what the other stations have gotten. I mean, our budget for total telemarketing for the upcoming year is $32,000 in gross revenue.
This is Summer?
Yes,
so,
go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian.
Anyway, but, I mean, we're flagging it. I'll volunteer to help get whatever comparable detail would be helpful from KPFA's experience with ComNet. The total telemarketing line is it's bigger than the total surplus in the budget.
Well, there's a reason for this.
Yeah.
We have to again remember that we're going for at least for the 6% thing, going after the pledges that haven't been fulfilled for FY09. This is old stuff. This is sort of low-hanging fruit, to my estimation.
Very low.
And I think we can get that. I mean, a lot of it is there simply for the asking, in my opinion. And so the 51,770, I think, is something we can probably bank on. The 225, yeah, it's let's have some more questions on that. But that 51,770 is, it's not like we're going, they're two very different things. We're not, the 51 is not from lapsed donors. It's from people who have already said recently, yeah, here it is. And some of those, I think, are also going to be those infamous credit card things, which will be easily corrected, and bang, that'll go right in very fast. So it's a different there are things of two different natures here. The stuff from the outstanding receivables from Aught9 is really very gettable, in my opinion. That's all I'll say there, I guess.
I have one more comment about this.
Okay, actually, Summer's been on the stack, and then we can get to you.
Okay.
All I want to say is yes, I've worked with professional telemarketing and with nonprofits. A third is very reasonable for a company that knows what they're doing and does it right. You're building membership, you're cleaning the database. And it does depend on how big a pool of people there are that they're going to be calling. If they subscribed in the past, there's a very good likelihood they'll get some of those people to subscribe now. I think that, it should have a proviso like we just did with KPFA's budget, you know, that accounts for a range of possibility, including a low-end range with, you know, what we will do. What will be done to balance the budget should it not fulfill its expectations? But I think, you know, in the real world, this is a very good thing to be doing, and the numbers they're charging are very reasonable. And doing it here with volunteer board members is a lovely idea, but we didn't have sufficient participation. And things are run differently when you have a professional telemarketing company. The questions they ask, the audit dollars, all those things that Grace rattled off, and it makes a big difference in your fulfillment. So, I mean, it's definitely worthwhile if it's going to grab some of those people and bring them back to the station.
Okay, thank you, Summer. You know. Let's see, Grace was next.
Yeah, I think it should be noted that from last I heard, KPFA has the highest fulfillment rate in the network. It's around 88%. Am I correct, Brian?
Around 89, but yeah, it's the highest in the network.
Yeah. I think the successful actions that KPFA should be understood and emulated by the other stations.
Well, we do it for lapsed donors. We don't do it for collections on pledges. Maybe
That's
we
right.
should. But
That's right. Now, the thing is, a lapsed member drive are members who are, I believe the telemarketing firm said, either 12 or 18 months lapsed. Okay, so that means that you're talking about a much older list that's being called. This list is that WBAI is going to be sending. It's different. We're looking for a pledge fulfillment within a six-month time frame. So these pledges, first of all, there's a larger number of pledges that we're harvesting. And second of all, these haven't lapsed as long as a lapsed member drive. So a lapsed member drive I don't know what to call it, not as live a list. So I think that this is going to be increasing the fulfillment. So it's a different approach, and I think the numbers will be different. Then the success rate would be different than just simply doing a lapsed member drive, which we're also going to be doing at WBAI, because the error in the election list showed us that at WBAI there's a one-third of the membership changes over every year. We lose one-third of our members every year at WBAI.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Very astonishing.
Okay, so we're going to flag telemarketing, and, you know, I don't know, it's kind of an, you know,
let's
we
move
have
on.
A rule, like, we used to have a rule, no unproven income, but I guess we don't have that rule this time around. Okay, also on income, it's worth noting there's increases in major donor donation versus last year, so probably some of that is actually a hidden increase. There's also
the notes say that's all from calling large donors from the database and then trying to up them. So it would actually be a major donor push.
Okay, and then again, that's something that we haven't done.
I have. May I?
Yeah.
In my talk with Berthold, I noted, you know, we hadn't done it last year at all, and so I've requested the actual history of our major donor lines. So.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
This is Summer. I apologize. I have to leave the call shortly, but I'm available for next Tuesday's meeting if that's what we schedule to finish going over the BAI budget. And maybe
okay, thank you very much, Summer.
Okay.
I appreciate your participation.
Thank you. Thank you. Talk to you all next week.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, so that's one thing, and there was another income line that was maybe not. Maybe I was imagining things. Okay, so those are the income. Those are your income issues. Listener support is a lot bigger. We have this new telemarketing line, and major donor is somewhat larger. Okay, now.
Are those the only income line items, Jamie?
Oh, no, there's about, there are 17 income line items.
Can you just briefly go over them?
Okay, there's listener support, which is $2.79 million. There's additional listener support, which is zero. There is major donors, 5K and up, which
it's, is... You're in the wrong column, Jamie. It's 25,000. Oh, no,
what?
Sorry, I'm on the wrong document.
No, it's zero. Additional is zero. Then major donors, 5K and up, is 78,000. Donations below 5K is 48,000. That's in orange, and somehow I wonder if that means that number is not quite finalized.
People,
okay.
Berthold said those orange or red, whatever you want to call them, are things that they have questions about at this time.
Okay. And then there's website income, which is 84,000, which compares favorably to the current last year's 72,000. It's not so much.
Yeah. If you want me to say something on that one.
Go for it.
Okay. They're projecting 11 grand more than last year, and management is thinking that this will be helped a lot by the phone system coming in. and they're writing a business plan about how to use the website better than we had been.
Okay. Good. And then corporate match is $3,600. Interest other income is $2,500. Community events are $33,000. Craft fair other events, in parentheses, David Rothenberg, is $222,000. David Rothenberg, for people that don't know, is a show on BAI where they actually sell theater tickets, correct? Is that a good description
yeah.
of what goes on? And the
no, we don't sell anything. We
I mean, they
ask for donations.
Exactly,
and
the donations
get
go to BAI.
Somehow.
Yeah. And
sounds like a fun drive.
Yeah, it is. It's like a fun drive every Saturday morning, all year long.
Go ahead.
And those numbers compare favorably to the current year. Car donations is $7,800. Telemarketing is $276,000. Grants income other is $11,000 versus $33,000 the current year. Grants CPB is $319,000 versus $359,000 the current year. And grants restricted, again, that's in orange. It sounds questionable, or it's not finalized, is $80,000. Versus $30,000 the current year. So those are your income lines. And the total income is projected for FY 2010 is $3.95 million versus $2.88 million in FY 2009. So it's what is that? A 33% increase.
Hefty.
In
27%.
Really?
Yeah.
It is 27? Okay.
Yeah, so,
I believe
you. Look at column X.
Okay, column
no,
X.
No, that's measuring your budget shortfall last year.
No, I think our poll is correct. It is 27%. Is that correct? Wait, let me just run that.
Do the calculator. Get the abacus.
Anyway, it's quite a big increase.
Yes.
You know, but that's what we're dealing with this budget. It is an increase of, let's see here, 37% increase.
37%. Okay.
That's quite a big number.
Yes, it is. And I think most of that is up in the listener support area, which I hope we can get managed to talk to us about at some point. One thing I want to talk about a little bit is line 11, community events. Last year, zero. This year, projected at $33,000. And I'm told people are talking about two big events and with, you know, a lot of participation by staff in the event. So that's
a couple of galas
got so far. So what?
Right. No galas.
No
don't
galas.
Don't mention that word anymore.
I'm not going to agree to a gala at all.
Don't go there.
But they're projecting two large community events. So.
Paul, you have almost no money budgeted for community event expenses.
Yeah.
And
you have $1,200.
We did make money in community events. There's something wrong with the actual here. Because we did get community event income in FY 2009. But anyway, back to your question, Brian.
Well, it was something I was going to flag, but I'll flag it now since you brought it up. You're budgeting $1,200 in community events expense against $33,000 in income.
Flag it.
It flies against everything I know about nonprofit fundraising.
Flag it.
That community events are a great thing to do, but they're always very low net.
Well, let's indeed flag that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the other thing was to make sure that the telemarketing isn't double budgeted as listener support and telemarketing.
Well, it seems like, let's see, telemarketing.
In other words, if you're counting
on
the telemarketing to be part of what drives up your fulfillment, but then you're also booking telemarketing revenue separately.
I think they're talking about if they're calling FY09 pledgers or lapsed donors, which people that didn't even pledge, haven't pledged for a while, that number shouldn't go towards fulfillment.
Listener support, yeah.
It shouldn't go for, but on the other hand, you can't turn around and say that the ComNet is going to drive up our fulfillment. We have to deal with the fulfillment as shows up in listener support. We have to do that all by ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is going to... This brings up a MEMSNIS question, which isn't quite budget, but which is sort of related, which is, how are we going to book this when the money comes in? In other words, are we going to be showing that for FY09, everything just stopped all of a sudden, and we're going to have, like, what is it, 60% or so, 60% fulfillment rates when maybe we got more money than that? You know, how to book this stuff is a question.
It seems like it ought to be booked just like a fulfilled pledge, right? I mean, that would make sense to me.
Sort of, yes, but a fulfilled pledge doesn't have a third of it coming out for a service.
Right.
So, I mean, doing it is absolutely a good idea, I think, but how to book it is one of, in MEMSIS is one of my questions.
Brian here.
Go ahead.
There's a couple different accounting things here, Arpal. One is that telemarketing doesn't have a general ledger code, which it doesn't. We don't have a general ledger code for telemarketing revenue. It should be part of listener support. And when you correct that in the budget, you're going to be paying 20% in central services on it.
Oh, that's a good point.
The second thing is... if you're collecting an unfulfilled pledge, it absolutely has to go into MEMSIS as that pledge being fulfilled. And that's how we track donor behavior. But if you're doing an appeal to someone who let their membership lapse, then you should be setting up a separate campaign in MEMSIS for that lapsed donor push.
So you're saying that all the telemarketing should be levied, or only the...
That's how the other stations are booking it.
So you book your telemarketing income as listener support?
Absolutely.
Okay, for lapsed donors.
Yes.
Or unfulfilled pledge.
Yeah, I should think that the... certainly the... I get my references right here. Certainly the... certainly the outstanding ones from FY09, yes, those should go in as listener support income, because that's precisely what they are. It's just, you know, there were some problems, and so we're correcting that. Now, the other question, besides how to book it, is how does the levy come out of that? Does the levy come out of the gross? I should think it should really come out of the net.
Maybe it should, but it comes out of gross. I mean, we don't deduct the cost of credit card processing fees and premiums and premium shipping when we calculate central services on our fund drive income.
That's going to be a hit.
Yeah.
We're going to be paying.
50.
We're going to be paying a tax on our cost of doing business.
50%.
You know, we're going to be paying. What is 20 times 20% times? A
plus
third, and we're going to be paying 6.5% on stuff we never got. We're going to be paying 6.5% levy on money we never put in our pocket.
I know, but you want to know how the other stations are doing it.
Yeah.
This is how we're doing it. Another reason Dwayne probably wasn't that psyched.
That's true. After a certain point, it doesn't make sense.
It's still money you didn't have before.
Yes. Yes.
Right,
and you brought in cheap back into the fold.
Cheap. Our listeners are very intelligent.
I know. I'm just putting tongue in cheek.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought about that. It is odd that they put it as a separate line. It's sort of a funny thing. Okay. So that's another thing. Another flag for telemarketing.
And
Mr. Chairman, point?
Yes.
If I remember correctly, and I might be a little off, but it seems like when Grace Aaron was telling us a little while ago that we transfer over old MEMSIS documents from our computer to this company, and then they rework it, they add it, and then we get an upgraded and updated file back into our computer. So I think that what Brian is saying is perfectly right on. that fulfillments will go up, and because they're going to, the telemarketing company is going to be not only calling our members but also bringing their files up to current status, and then we import them back into our computers themselves. I hope I made myself clear. I'm running out of English. I need to go down to the 7-Eleven and pick up another quarter's worth.
Another quarter's worth. That should see you through the rest of the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. Are there any other issues around income, or should we go into the rest of the budget?
Expense.
The last thing I wanted to flag was the grants line, where there's a $50,000 increase.
Let's flag
restricted?
Yeah, I wanted to know if there's, you know, like, is it grant money that's committed, grant money that you're applying for?
Line 15?
Okay. Line 17, grants restricted.
Oh, grants restricted. You notice that one is, oh, all right, one, you'll notice that that one has a red background cell. So that means...
I dispute that. I say it's an orange background.
Yeah. it has a burnt umber background, and it's questionnaire. Also, there is someone who does, in fact, give a certain amount of money towards a building fund for WBAI. And this has been going on for a couple of years here. So that's a part of it, but there's also a question about maybe more than that.
Well, it's $50,000 more than last year.
Flag
okay,
it.
So we'll flag that one. We'll write a query. Is that good?
That's good.
Okay, so why don't we go down to the rest of it? Look at that. BAI is going to pay essential services. I guess we already started paying them. That's good. Capital expenditures, lines 35, XL rows 35 through 40. Wow, leasehold building improvements. Do you know what line 41 is?
ARPAL.
Yeah, let me look here.
Is this in what Berthold sent us?
Yes, this is Bert. Berthold and I discussed this. Let's see. That's... Okay, I'm looking at notes here. So. Pardon.
Mm-hmm. There were notes written with a fountain pen, I hope.
Yes, fountain pen, of course.
Schaefer's.
It works. Don't use those other damn things.
Schaefer's.
No, I use the Kaweco Sport.
Excellent.
Okay, flipping through paper here. We did talk about this.
Is that for the telephone? That's too much for telephone.
No,
right?
That's not the telephone. That's line 41. Okay, I'm looking. Oh, just to back up one second, the extra money is being projected as coming from a major donor for the grants restricted, and some of that is going to be for the phone system in grants restricted.
Okay.
Pardon me for backing up. All right, we discussed this, and I think I have the question on it too. Yeah, I have a question. That's 104. And I have a question on just exactly what are we doing with that. And I think the telephone is in it, because if you look at it, every 3 months, it's a bump. It's a big bump. And so I think that some of that, not all of that, is the telephone.
Okay.
But... I also want to.
How much? How much? How much is the number?
The annual number on this line is $104,000. This is in capital expenses.
Wow.
Leasehold building improvements.
Wow.
You know, usually our capital expenditures are like practically zero because we don't have any money for capital expenditures.
Sure, I understand.
Also, your lease is up in 2 years.
Right.
So why improve your building for them?
Three years.
Excuse me.
And it's end of 2012. Well, yeah, okay, so we'll flag that, make a query. Then the total surplus of this budget is $211,000, it says. So, okay, so let's move down into the expenses. Salary and related. Pardon?
Which line were you just on?
Total, the surplus, row 43.
Line 43.
Row 43.
Row, okay, right. Okay, this thing is skipping around here. Pardon me. Right,
come on,
43.
That just, you know, for people who were curious, who are keeping score at home, it's $211,000.
Jeez, okay, pardon me, I'm getting a little problem here with it skipping in funny places. So I have to now manually do that. Okay, so yes, total projected of surplus is now 211. And I view that with a hairy eyeball.
Right.
I mean, there was one thing I should note. Did I do this in the last? I did this somewhere. Some of my questions previously have been answered. I'll just say that. In case it was here that I said I had some reservations about a couple of things. Some of the reservations I had were answered, but 211, we need more information about.
The surplus?
The surplus, yeah. That's a lot of money for us to suddenly be in the black with.
Well, that's because we're making all this money, you know, in telemarketing. And
yeah, okay.
You know, we're listener support is like, you know, higher than it's been since 2000.
That's why we need to take a look at some aspects of that.
Yeah.
I think 211 needs to be looked at. Not that I'm saying we can't, but I'm just saying we need to nail that down a bit more.
Right. Okay, and then I have a question about gross salaries. I don't know whether it's appropriate to mention this. I think this is okay. Is Grace on the call?
Yes.
You're still here, Grace. Tell me if this is inappropriate for open session. But in the salaries tab, which we're not supposed to reveal the names or money for any individual, but there's no salary allotted for a general manager.
Well, that's ridiculous. So you know, that should be
changed.
That should be changed.
Okay.
Good catch.
Actually, we noticed this the last time.
Also, we probably need to note that whenever such a person gets hired, we're not totally certain of what the salary will be.
Right.
Just, you know, it's not going to be that gigantic, though. We can tell them that right away.
Put in a range. I mean, you could put in a guesstimate number. Okay. Also, Berthold has put in green the health benefits, which apparently in 2009 we spent $247 on, and the budgeted number is $184. I think he's not completely confident.
What line are we on?
This is row, line 52. Row 52. I spoke to him on the phone today, and I think he said he's not completely convinced by that number.
There's a long history of a balkanization of health benefits. Back when I was chief steward, we had one health care provider, and since then a new union came in, and some people opted to stay with the old one, some went with the new one, and then there's another new one. So we have basically at least three different ways people can do it. And, you know, so it's not a clear-cut calculation, and they need to nail this down a bit. Some of it is that they don't have, I think they don't have the final actuals for what 9 on the health benefits yet. At least they didn't on Friday.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
How much, what is the the total cost of staff and what percentage of the entire budget is it for BA?
It's total salary related is $1.27 million, and total expenditures are $3 million, and then you have to add in another, it's more like $3.6 million. So it's it's basically
about
like 35%. 35%. If you include his expenses, central services.